It's now time for On the Line with Cheryl Wilkerson. The conversation will range from local dialogue to international. This show is meant to enlighten, inform, and to inspire. On the Line with Cheryl Wilkerson begins now.
Hello and welcome to On the Line. I'm your host, Cheryl Wilkerson, broadcasting from the campus of Norfolk State University. Want to thank you for joining me on this Sunday morning, as you always do. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So today, my friend is on with me. People know him all over the nation. That's because he's worked everywhere, worked with everybody, worked for everybody. And his name is Mr. Gary Flowers. As a matter of fact, you probably know that name because you listen to him every Sunday morning on WOL, that's AM, that's 1450, and FM 95.9, every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. in Washington, D.C. So Gary Flowers, like I said, he has been in the world of policy and politics for how many years, Gary?
More than two, but closer to 40.
40, okay. And when I say that, he has been around policymakers from former Governor Doug Wilder. He has worked for Jesse Jackson. He has headed nonprofit organizations. Gary has just done it all, and he knows people, and he knows what's going on in the world of politics. So I thought it was great that he would join us today to give us an inside look at what is going on politically in these United States. And Gary, we got some stuff to talk about this morning. Just the beginning of the week, we hear that crazy man is calling people vermin. And he doesn't have money for his bonnet. And you know what? I have young people around me, students around me. And this is what they say to me, Gary. They say to me, President Biden is going to be in trouble. I say, why do you say that? They say, because of his stance on, get this, Gary, TikTok. I said, run that by me. Well, because he would support a ban on TikTok, he's going to lose the election. And this is what they honestly believe. So tell us, I keep thinking something more going on with this whole TikTok thing. Can you address any of this?
Well, first and foremost, thank you for the invitation.
You are
and
welcome.
Top of the morning to you, my dear sister. I enjoyed working with you at our stint at Rejoice Radio here in Richmond, Virginia.
Yes.
And it's an honor to be on your show this morning.
Thank you, sir.
But I am very pleased with your student's answer.
Because.
And here's why.
Okay.
We have always said in the civil rights and human rights community, vote your interests. The issues that matter to you, choose a candidate that reflects those issues.
Mm-hmm.
And for young people, TikTok matters.
Yes.
Now, we also say to voters, be informed and totally informed about an issue before you cast your ballot. If that is their full answer, they don't know the full issue.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. What President Biden is saying and the United States government is reaching out to China and saying, we do not like TikTok owned by a Chinese company, wherein what is shown to the world, particularly the United States, is not shown on TikTok in China.
Right. That's right. That's
and
right.
So there is a conditional plea to China. If you give up ownership of TikTok, we will keep TikTok in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Now, regardless of whether you think that that is holding, you know, interstate commerce as hostage, that's the full issue. And so if young people, after they know that condition, still want to vote against Biden, that's their prerogative.
But how do you get them to see, yes, that is an issue and that is a big issue for your demographic, that younger demographic, but there are other issues that should be just as big a deal with your demographic?
But let's not leave their issues first. And that is, aside from TikTok, they are very concerned about student debt.
Mm-hmm.
So a potential negative vote for Biden on the portions of TikTok that may get rid of it could be countervailed by Biden's position on erasing student loans.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
All politics is local.
Yes, yes. Yes, it is.
Now, to your point, there are other issues that are equally as impactful, not only to young people, but to the nation itself. The idea that one presumptive candidate has a cozy relationship with America's global nemesis, Russia,
mm-hmm.
it should be of major concern, because if the candidate who was the loser of the last election were to gain office again, we would not have a constitutional republic.
Mm-hmm.
I firmly believe that he would usher in, and he's all but told us so, fascist policies,
mm-hmm.
which goes way beyond TikTok,
mm-hmm. yes.
and way beyond student loans. Under his regime, only kids who went to private schools would have a chance of going to college,
mm-hmm.
because he would privatize the public school budget, $600 billion. That is of interest to all of us. The idea of what we believe to be a privilege of voting would be so constrained that only the wealthy would be in a position to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention criminal incarceration. The tenets of fascism to which Donald Trump adheres are suppression of free press, identifying anyone who is not in your political corner as the enemy,
mm-hmm.
and putting them in jail, to repress public education and public dissent. These are major issues for a free society.
And so we saw what happened during COVID.
Come down to whether you want to vote for President Biden, albeit with his foibles, but has been generally a good president on policy, generally.
Okay, but Gary, why doesn't the Democratic Party ram down our throats the accomplishments of this administration so that people will remember what he's done? One thing you just mentioned was eliminating student debt. I just had an acquaintance post the other day about she got a letter saying her debt was canceled. Why doesn't the party understand that they have to keep reminding people of what the administration has done?
Incompetence and a sense of glorified status. And what I mean by that is I quit the Democratic Party after rising in 2004 as the deputy chair of the Democratic Convention Committee in Boston, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I quit, you know, the Democratic Party is because they, in a sports sense, we're all looking at our brackets today. And I'm sorry for Norfolk State losing in the MEAC.
But the ladies won.
We're looking at our brackets, and we are choosing a team that we believe will play to win.
Mm-hmm.
Not play, not to lose.
Right.
The Democratic Party plays not to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put it another way, Cheryl. If you and I are playing bid whist, and I, at the end of the game, see that you could have helped our team run a Boston, and you played board, well, now, I don't want you to be my partner again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Democratic Party has played board for the last 45 years. When we could have run a Boston on the policy positions of the Republican Party, which mainly stand for wealthy white males and privatization of all things public and denigration of all things dark.
Do you think that former Vice President Pence coming out saying he would not support that man will have any effect on any other Republicans?
Former Vice President Pence's position on politics now is like my position on the operation taking place at Medical College of Virginia operating room.
Okay.
He's irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
He stood by and watched a tyrant almost take this country to a state of fascism, and then he wants to now distance himself from that former idiot of the Oval Office. So to me, he was a coward when we needed him to stand up.
And what about Liz Cheney?
Liz Cheney, I think, tried to make an end around for the Republican Party by saying, I'm going to pretend to side with the Democrats to prosecute Trump, so that if I get him out of the way, I will be next in line to run for president.
Mm-hmm.
And that has backfired on her.
Let me ask you about Haiti. Americans are in Haiti right now. Some of them have been evacuated. Some have not. How have we found ourselves in this position?
Not knowing history. When San Domingo, where Haiti sits now, was the most profitable colony of France, they literally worked Africans to death.
Yes.
They died of broken backs and exhaustion from chopping sugarcane.
Mm-hmm.
From darkness to darkness. They rose up and formed the first black republic mm-hmm. in the Western Hemisphere.
Western Hemisphere, yeah.
And they have been punished since then. George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. George Washington said, put a naval blockade around the island and starve them to death. Thomas Jefferson said, don't let any of the enslaved in America know about what happened in Haiti. But Gabriel here in Richmond found out and almost led a transformational revolution. I'm giving you that history because it was Jefferson who bought the Louisiana Purchase from France, which expanded the United States
mm-hmm.
west of the Mississippi for two-thirds of our nation. If it were not for Haiti, we might be speaking French.
Correct.
In America. So, one, knowing our history, but there has been a punishment against Haiti for 224 years.
I am amazed by Haiti because when I think that they refuse to be enslaved, and when I think about the fact that, and then France had the nerve to turn around and say, okay, so now you're going to have to pay me reparations.
Yeah,
I don't.
For your freedom.
Yeah, I don't understand, Gary. I don't understand why Haiti agreed to pay the reparations, but just the fact that France had the nerve to ask for it.
Well, France made that offer by saying, if you pay us reparations, we'll leave you alone and we will let you prosper.
Hmm.
And they took the deal, and France reneged.
Mm-hmm.
It continued what has been sanctions and an embargo against Haiti for 224 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at Haiti, it is about minerals. There's oil off the coast of Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
There are minerals beneath the ground. And white privilege and white racism globally does not tolerate black resistance or black success. And that is why they have punished Haiti. I'm talking about the United States,
mm-hmm.
France, England,
mm-hmm.
and the rest of the world has watched while Haiti has been starved.
Yep.
Now, in the meantime, they put in brown-skinned white men. All skinned folk ain't kinfolk.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, those despots have robbed and divided Haiti for the last 80 years,
mm-hmm.
at least. So when you say now to Haiti, we're going to bring in Kenyan troops to police your island, why would the Kenyans side with the oppressors to then impress their brothers and sisters in Haiti?
Money.
Money and minerals.
And minerals. Congress. Congress and the White House trying to reach an agreement, you know, to stop government shutdowns. Those are headlines, it seems like, all the time. Is it the fault of the American people that we're always looking to, quote, avert a government shutdown? Is that on the American people or is that on the lawmakers?
Definitely on the lawmakers.
Okay.
And here's why. Since 1994, when Newt Gingrich came into Congress as a radical Republican, he made what was statesman and collegial politics into us versus them.
Mm.
And the us versus them now has it that a prominent Democrat can't be seen with a Republican in public. When I got to D.C. in 1994, I would see Tip O'Neill.
Yes, yes.
The Democratic Speaker of the House.
Yes.
With Bob Dole.
Yes. Didn't they write a book together or something? Yeah.
At dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So this we versus them politics has hurt America.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, since 2009, when the Tea Party formed to resist a black president, they have devolved into the Freedom Caucus in the House of Representatives and blocked every piece of legislation that would keep us from being in a point of government shutdown. On the Senate side, Mitch McConnell has been the senator of no for almost 30 years.
But isn't that the fault of the people that keep putting him in office or let him remain in office?
But it's also the election rules per state.
Two-thirds
of the state legislatures are Republican-run. But two-thirds of the voters, three-fourths of the voters in America are Democrat. So it's gerrymandering, district packing, and dirty tricks at the state level that then give Republicans a majority by which they run for Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And in Congress, they have been nothing but obstructionist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what does that say to us? That we have to pay more attention to who runs for state house and state senate. We have to be more involved in who runs for city council and school board, because many of the school board and city councilmen and women go on to run for state house and state senate,
mm-hmm.
and then Congress.
Mm-hmm. I am often trying to figure out how to get, and you said it earlier, all politics is local. I'm often trying to figure out how to get people interested in what is going on locally. We're talking nationally this morning, but I know you're familiar with many of the shenanigans that have gone on in the city of Portsmouth. And
yeah.
So, Gary, the latest is yesterday they voted on a new city manager to come into Portsmouth. Right now there's an interim. They said, okay, the interim is not going to get the job. And as a matter of fact, we don't even want the interim to stay until the new guy can come in April. So we're going to hire a former city manager to come in for that month or so, and we're going to pay her or him until we can get the guy that we hired. It's just taxpayers' money. How does a community grasp this? And no explanations are given. Like, why isn't the interim good enough? Why, can't the interim stay until the new guy comes? There are no answers. So what should the populace do to get answers, to figure out what's going on? This is the taxpayers' money.
Show up or shut up. Show up at the meetings. Show up at every public place where the elected officials present themselves. And then inform the people as to who's paying for the obstructionists. Because politics revolves around money.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And as Dr. King said, let's redistribute the pain. If companies in the Portsmouth area are supporting the legislators who are holding Portsmouth back, then selectively don't buy their products. And put that list for public consumption of the companies that are funding the candidates and the elected officials who are hurting Portsmouth.
Got it. Do you believe that Fannie Willis will now remain in office without a whole bunch of hullabaloo, as my mom used to say, or will she be voted out of office? Will people try to go after her law license? Do you think she can finish what she started with her indictments against the former president?
One adage in resistance is, if you go after the king, don't miss. If you want to take out the top, make sure your bottom is clean.
Mm-hmm.
And Fannie Willis's bottom is not clean.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. When you're in such a precedent-setting case, no president in the history of this constitutional republic has ever been criminally indicted or convicted. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
So with the stakes so high, you can't be messing around with a brother who you have a romantic relationship with on such a high-profile case.
But, Gary, isn't she smart enough to know that?
And then make payments with a credit card that could be traced.
How do you allow yourself to get in that position when you are so smart and you are so intelligent and you have so much riding on this? Is that just human nature?
my mother used to use the word hullabaloo as well. And bless our mothers.
That's right.
In heaven. They're having a sorority meeting with Delta there. But my mother also said that all book sense ain't common sense. She's a brilliant attorney and prosecutor. But such an error is just reflective of no common sense.
So you don't think it's over?
Here's what she's done to the case. This case, among the other three, are relying on a fast timeline with no delays so that the voters can make a decision on both candidates in part based on the conviction or non-conviction of Donald Trump. By her shenanigans and her moments of pleasure, she has delayed the case over 2 months. Those 60 days are critical to the end of the case, which now, more than likely, will be after the election.
I see what you're saying. The timeline there does not add up.
Because of her and her moments of pleasure.
Okay. Do you see more people in the Republican Party turning their back on the former president? Do you see more people coming out now? We talked about Pence earlier, but I just mean in general, lawmakers, average Joe Blow. Do you think more people are opening their eyes and saying, I don't think so?
Of course I do, particularly after Trump made his latest absurd and violent-inducing statement where he said if he's not elected, there will be a bloodbath all over this country. Words matter. There are militia members. There are gun enthusiasts. And they are just downright anarchists who would take those words as a call to battle.
Yes.
Not just at state houses in the Capitol building in D.C., but in localities. Mm-hmm. And so, on one hand, the Democrats have been too soft and too delayed by Merrick Garland and brain charges. But when you do not prosecute language such as that, there is still a prohibition in the law that you can't yell fire in a movie theater.
Right, right.
So for him to be able to say if-then scenario of if you don't vote for me, and if I'm not elected, there will be a bloodbath all over the country. That should be indictable by itself.
By itself. You are inciting another insurrection. We're running out of time, but I need to ask you this. I might know the answer, but maybe I don't. So when we look at Clarence Thomas, when we look at Mark Robinson, when we look at Tim Scott, we as black people should say and do what?
That all skin folk ain't kin folk. And we have to move beyond the paradigm of pigment and rise to policy positions and politics.
Is there anything that we can do specifically about someone seated on the Supreme Court?
Well, the Supreme Court should not be for life.
Yeah. You think they'll ever change that?
And our allies around the world, they're not appointments for life. You have term limits on the Supreme Court. But more than that, before I let you go, I'm an abolitionist in many ways. As it relates to voting, we should have more than two political parties.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the Republicans should put out Trump and his fascist into another party. And I believe the Squad and the Progressive Democrats should split from the Democratic Party. And I believe the labor unions should have their own party. So we should have five political parties in this country. That will change the politics of Mitch McConnell and the Republicans being obstructionists when they don't have the White House. Got and it would also allow mm-hmm. for the Democratic Party, at least the progressive faction, to respect Democratic voters more than they do now, and to play to win and not just to lose.
Not to lose. That's it. I love talking to you because I can throw anything at you and you can talk about it. And I think that's good. And even if people listening don't agree, it gives them something to think about. So they can take their Sunday afternoon drive today and think about, do you think we should have more than two political parties? You know, it gets people thinking. So, Gary, you are invaluable, and I thank you for that. Before you get out of here, tell people how they can listen to you, reach you on social media, whatever.
Please tune into the Gary Flowers Show on Sunday mornings, broadcasting from the nation's capital of Washington, D.C. On live stream, you're going to type in WOLDCnews.com. If you're in the Beltway area, please tune in to FM 95.9 or AM 1450 to the Gary Flowers Show.
You are the best. If you all are in Richmond, you can go walking the ward with Gary Flowers. Check him out on social media for that as well. He knows the history of Richmond and he knows it well. Gary, thank you.
Thank you so much. Keep up the good work, Sister Cheryl.
Thank you, my dear. Take care. All right, you all. That is another one. I'm Cheryl Wilkerson. Don't forget, join me every Sunday, 11 o'clock. And as always, behold the green and gold.